This part of Matthew's Gospel is the closing section of Jesus giving advice, if you like, to the disciples. He has not sent them forward yet. He is telling them how life is going to be if you choose, the disciples, if you choose to come with me. Because the forces around us are so strong, they will not prevail, but you need to be prepared. So he is passing on a teaching advice. He's not commissioning them to go forward at this stage. He's saying to them, certainly go out, but welcome people in. And this will come at a cost. And he mentions for the first time in Matthew's Gospel, if you take up your cross. Now, Jesus had not died at this stage. He did not know that he was going to be crucified, but crucifixion was the standard operating procedure for anybody under Roman rule in that part of the world at that time. So anybody who challenged the system was more than likely going to be crucified. And so Jesus is saying the worst thing that you could imagine is to die like that. Or that may happen to you if you choose to follow me. So it was a little bit confronting, but not as much, I suppose, as when he says people who choose their parents or their family over me are not worthy of me. That's very challenging. Because most people would think, oh, I can do things to get away from being caught by the law, as it were, so I'll never end up being crucified because I'm sneaky enough. But when you choose to follow Christ and the price that you pay is your family, that's extremely confronting. The Mediterranean family in Jesus' time was an extremely tight-knit unit. Do not associate the language that you hear in this gospel with your experience of what it is to be a family in 2020. It is very, very different. The family of Jesus' time was so tight that the custom and the preferred custom was that you married your first cousin through your father's line. And the reason is that the family unit was so tight, that is where your security was. Very often it was where your income was. It was where your status was within the village or the township in the community. Everything that you were and everything that you are came through your family. And that's why when it came to things like marriage, the unit was so protective. It's very foreign to us. Our understanding of marriage, for example, in 2020, for a long time, it has been that marriage is the foundation of the family, and it has held such a pride of place. But I would challenge that in 2020 by saying that the sacredness of marriage has shifted, not in its importance, it's how important it is for us, but society views marriage very differently than do people who follow Jesus Christ. The important thing in family in 2020, it seems to me, is not marriage, but it is actually relationship. Now, I'm not saying that to denigrate anybody in any sense who's not in a marriage but is in a relationship. One is not better than the other. That is not my point. My point is understanding the price we pay according to what our gospel says when we choose to follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus in his time, you were going to lose your income, your security, you're going to lose your status, you're going to lose everything. And that's what he was pointing out. So the family that you were bred into, you no longer will have, more than likely. Because at the time of the gospel, those that followed Jesus were, in a sense, booted out of their family, many of them. Some members of a family would become Christian, others would not become Christian. And therefore there was a tension, and that tension led to people splitting families. Now some of you in this church tonight will have lived through the same thing over 2,000 or nearly 2,000 years later, particularly those of you who may be older, and particularly those of you who had parents or grandparents who were not Catholic when they married. And that split came in. It seems as though the church hung on as long as it could to make sure that they fought everything that happened in the Protestant Reformation. So that in your lifetime, when a Catholic was marrying a non-Catholic, more often than not, they were forced to marry in the sacristy, in a back room, or somewhere else, sometimes even in the presbytery. They were not allowed, many people, to be married in the fullness of the presence of the church. So marriage, it seemed, in the latter part, particularly of the last century, was sometimes used as a tool. It was not about family, it was almost about punishing people. So just the way, just because we look at things the way we do now, don't always think that it's been that way. It simply hasn't. And marriage is the example that I'm using tonight because it's just so current in a lot of our minds these days. So if we look at what we've got today compared to what we had back in Jesus' time, and I'm saying that the emphasis on marriage has shifted and the emphasis is on relationship, that too is a very, very good thing. Because Jesus instructed the disciples, therefore they went out and built the church. Not a perfect institution, a human church divinely inspired. God does not choose saints, apparently. Look back through history. Moses, he chose Moses. Moses was a murderer, murdered the Egyptians to get out of Egypt. Then he chose David, who was the king that unified Israel. David was an adulterer. You can listen to that song, Alleluia, Alleluia, all you like, and you'll say, oh, it's lovely. It's about an adulterer, King David. Then he chooses Peter down the track. Peter, what does he do? He denies his Lord and Saviour, three times. But on that rock, Jesus founded his church. So don't think for 1 minute that the relationship that we have as church, as individual members, as a collective, don't think that it's perfect. And goodness knows, the headlines in newspapers will prove that to us if you choose to believe them. But we are not a perfect church. We never, ever have been. He chooses the weak, perhaps, to make the rest of us strong. And that happens through relationship. It doesn't happen because the church says you must do this or you must marry that and this way. Not at all. I think history would say that such language used that way drives people away from the relationship with God and the relationship with each other. And this is the time in which we live now, coming out of this virus, well, certainly in this part of Australia, where a lot of us have been examining how do we live our lives, what sort of relationship am I in with God and with others? Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? Is it based on true faith or is it based on fear or fantasy? It's a very good time for us to examine that. And I would also put to you, as a community, what is, in terms of the welcome and hospitality theme that flows through the second part of the gospel, what is my contribution to welcome people in this church building, for example, in this parish? What do I contribute to be a visible sign of welcome in this place, in this community that I call home? And then you might just ask yourself, what do I contribute to the relationships that I am in right here and now? What is it that I bring to this relationship? I hope for goodness that your answers are things that you bring into the relationship, not things that you take from the relationship. That is not welcoming, and that is not hospitable, and that is not the gospel that Jesus gives us to live.